Yesterday, Brother Ed Potter said at the graveside, he said to me, "I'm so thankful that New Life Bible Church has been Mom's home church for these past many years." I said, "You have no idea what a privilege it is for us that God brought her to us." And I just want to say to you who are Isaloy's family, what a privilege it's been for us to be her church home. What a privilege it is for us to host you today. And I'm thankful that I have the privilege of being a part of this service. I know it's bittersweet. It's certainly bitter because we already miss Isaloy. And yet it's sweet because Isaloy knew Jesus Christ and she is now in his presence. I want to encourage you that you made a wise choice in coming here today. I know you could have chosen not to be here. But wise King Solomon says that it is better to go to the house of mourning than it is to go to the house of feasting, because this is the end of all men and the living will take it to heart. We all are going to hear things today that we ought to take to heart. And so let's pray to that end. Father God, we praise you and thank you for the grace that you gave to all of us in giving to us someone like Isaloy, Izzy to many, or Mom, Grandma, Great-Grandma, Great-Great-Grandma. We thank you, Father, for her precious life, her precious testimony, for her love for you, for your word, for the church, but especially for her children and for her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and her entire family. She had for many years memorized every single person's birthday. We know that she also memorized many of your words and spoke them to others. So, Father, we thank you for her legacy. Thank you for her great testimony. And we today mourn for ourselves that she's not here with us. At the same time, Father, we rejoice. We confess our faith in you and in your word that she is with you. And to depart from this life and to be with the Lord is way better than to remain here. So we thank you, Father. We pray that this service would be glorifying to you, honoring to Isaloy's legacy, comforting to her family, and a blessing to all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you take your hymnals, please, and turn to 209. There's an older hymn that says, "When morning gilds the skies, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised." Isaloy wanted us to sing praises to the Lord about this day also with this chorus. This is the day we're going to stand up. The first time you're holding your hymnals, so you're excused from clapping. After that, you're going to put the hymnals down. Isaloy said, "We are going to clap." So first time through, if you need the hymnals, hang on to them. Second time, we're going to put them down and make sure you clap. But we can clap both times, okay? This is a day to rejoice. Here we go.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
You can imagine that when Isaloy said something, that's how she wanted it. So put your hymnals down. Let's all join in. If you have... I have trouble doing both at the same time, but let's see if we can do it. Clap and sing. Here we go.
This is the day that the Lord has made, the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord
reminded that when a saint enters heaven, there's much rejoicing. We can be a part of that rejoicing this morning. You may be seated.
Good to see everyone. I promised my sister and brothers and everybody that I wouldn't say anything, but I'm going to. I've been privileged to be with Mom the last 10 years, or I don't know how many years really, but we had a good time together, and she went just the way she wanted to. She wanted to, always said she wanted to lay down and go to sleep, wake up in heaven, and she did. So it's hard for me to be sad. I'm happy for her. And since I was her favorite son, they've asked me to read this. Jackie printed it out big so I could see. Shh. Isaloy Bernice Byler Potter, born August the 17th, 1916, in Benton County, Arkansas, to Harper and Maud Witters Byler, died peacefully in her sleep on November the 6th, 2019, in Pueblo, Colorado. Predeceased on April the 9th, 1985, by husband of 39 years, Rule, and by four sisters, Jewel, Pearl, Leora, and Aunt Easter Lily. I can't say Easter Lily without saying Aunt Easter Lily. And four brothers, Menelaus, Clelly, Ephraim James, and Colin Lee, and son-in-law, John Sheffield. She leaves behind her children, Edgar Abigail Potter of Harrison, Arkansas, Dwayne and Rebecca Potter of both Pueblo and Buda, were transitional, I guess. Gwendolyn Sheffield of Wenatchee, Washington, and Jacqueline Frank Fayola of Pueblo. 12 grandchildren, 24 great-grandchildren, four great-great-grandchildren, numerous nieces, nephews, her New Life Bible Church family, special friends, Dolores Guthrie, and numerous other friends, young and old. Throughout her 103 years of life, she loved and was loved by so many, and outlived a lot of her family and friends. There are numerous stories that can be told, but turning her life over to Christ and meeting Rule at an ice cream social were the two that had the most impact in shaping her life. Thank you all for coming.
A verse in the Bible says, the first shall be last. I get the last word. Look out, here it comes. First of all, I want to thank the Lord, first of all, for everything that I'm going to say. Now, a word of gratitude, especially, which we've said to the Lord many times, I and Abby, because we were not close geographically to Mom, hadn't been for all those many years, and then even when we did get closer and came off the mission field and took over the property where Abby's parents lived in Harrison, Arkansas, I said we were closer. I told Mom, I said, well, at least we're on the same side of the Mississippi, you know. But it was still kind of way, long ways across Kansas and part of Missouri to get there. But and so our special gratitude to the Lord for Dwayne and Jackie and Frank and Becky and all those who had a part in caring for Mom in the latter years, specifically when we were unable to, just to by reason of distance. And I know Gwen shares the same thing, same attitude, because she was off in the other corner of the States. But and also for this church, New Life Bible Church, that she found a home. She had to have a church home. She was raised that way. And when she found the need to leave one church, she said, I had to find another one. And she found New Life Bible. I don't know how many years ago that was, but I remember the first time we came here and she was coming to this church, and we're thankful that she found a home here. And our gratitude to the Lord for the pastors, the various pastors that have had a part in her life, and we praise God for that. If you've never been to a Byler funeral, you don't know what you're in for. You know, it's a really great party. On the way here, we would go through airline security or travel check-in at the ticket counter or rent a car. And the question always is, oh, is this a family vacation? Is it a business or pleasure or whatever, you know? And I'd say, actually, I'm going to my mother's funeral in Pueblo. They didn't know what to say. Oops, you know, then what? I put them at ease. This is going to be a great party. And they always have been, because she was raised in a family that raised on biblical principles, and funerals were kind of a joyful event in her family life. And this is a memorial service for her, but you won't hear a lot about her, I think, because she would want you to hear about Jesus. And so we're going to talk about that, but I do have a personal story. Dwayne said he wasn't going to get very personal. He started all this, you know. Anyway, so but I do have one incident that ties in with her influence on my life. Maybe you can't read the title to it. It says, Igermeyer's Bible Story Book. This is not the original cover. It's been rebound. There's a story behind that. And let's see if I read how I wanted to say this. Anyway, she read from this Bible story book every night, and probably I was too young to understand all the words, because it says in the very beginning on the title page here, whoop, getting rebound, it got messed up. It says, property of Edgar Potter, presented by Janie Marie and her
quite true. Missionaries to Colombia. December 1947. This was my first birthday present. My first birthday. It was given by missionaries in Colombia. I thought I could do this. One moment, be right back. We pause for a commercial break. Here we are. Yep, got it. But there's a story behind this. Janie Marie and Roy True, missionaries to Colombia, were people she met at John Brown University during the 2 years she attended in 1936 and 1938. They had a profound influence on her life. They were lifelong friends. And when they learned that Isaloy had a boy, they presented this Bible story book, which Mom read to me every night in my crib. I remember it well. You don't believe that. I can tell that. And then when Dwayne came along, she started over. And Gwen came along, she started over. Jackie came along, she started over. By the time I was 6 years old, I'd probably heard the whole Bible in Bible story form 4 times. And that's formative. Anyway, the other part of that story is that while at John Brown, and by the way, when we were going through Mom's papers a month ago, you know, I found class notes she took 80 years ago in Old Testament history, the kings of Judah, in her very neat handwriting, in pencil, in notebook form, 80 years ago, and she had taken class notes and kept them for whatever reason. I have no idea. But that's just how meticulous she was. And Jackie just pulled up a little diary from 1973. And Mom made an entry that she had just gotten a letter from Brazil from somebody living down there. Well, that was us. Saying that Abby was pregnant. Amen, Jeff says. Jeff says, thank you, Mom. Anyway, so she was very meticulous, and so we found this. But in this relationship with Janie Marie and Roy, Mom felt the call to the mission field. That she ought to go. And she said no. Well, she tried to say no. And she told me she wrestled with it for over a week. Lord was calling her to go to the mission field, and she kept saying, but I can't go. No. She was too close to her parents. Well, geographically, because John Brown is in, university is in Benton County where she was born. And she just couldn't bring herself to leave her family behind. She wrestled with it. And finally, after a week, she said, well, okay. That's what you want. Lord, your will be done. Lord said, okay, you can stay. But you know, the Lord does that with us a lot of times. He just says if we're willing to go. He may not tell us we have to, but he wants to know if we're willing, if he says to. And so she said, okay, I'm willing to go. And he said, well, you can stay then. But she who would not give up her mother and father, didn't want to anyway, initially, was willing to give up her firstborn to the mission field. So for 44 years, we lived on the other side of the world from her. Her grandkids, some she only saw when they were 2 years old. You know, that's kind of a big deal. Grandmas like to be there when the grandbabies are born. Well, she didn't have that privilege in our case. But so in a way, she fulfilled her missionary call. Well, the favorite verse, and it's printed in the bulletin, this is the day the Lord has made. And that's, that was a song we sang. And if she were here and you could ask her, and she would say, yes, this day the Lord has made, rejoice. She'd want you to rejoice today because she lived by that. This day the Lord has made. But if you read the context of that, which I will do in Psalm 118, I think we don't always remember the context of that verse. It says, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad at it. That verse, the context is the Lord ruling over all. And that's the day we rejoice in. And that's why I'm saying this service in honoring her would be to honor the Lord, who has made the capstone, the cornerstone of her life. And she instilled as the cornerstone of her family. And that's the day we rejoice in. And that's why we can rejoice today in remembering Mom. We have chosen to sing, we as a family, a few of us, this, what a day that will be. I want to talk about the day. And this was one of the many songs that we could have listed as Mom's favorite song. We couldn't sing them all, and you're glad for that. But this is the one we will sing. What a day that will be.
All is peace forevermore.
I want to talk about 2 days that are in your future. Now, these 2 days I'm talking about are more certain than Christmas, which is not that far away, at least according to Walmart and some other stores, Hobby Lobby, you know. More certain than Thanksgiving. That's even closer, isn't it? And I dare say these 2 days are more certain in your future than you seeing the sunrise tomorrow morning. You think, what could be more certain than tomorrow even? Well, there are 2 things that are certain in our future. There's that old joke, you know, about only 2 things are certain in life, and that's taxes and death. Well, that's close to right. But if you didn't know it, you can avoid taxes. You can cheat on them. You can try to get out of them, you know. Well, the 2 days I'm talking about, you can't cheat on. You can't avoid, you can't postpone, you can't cancel. We had to cancel some appointments that we'd made with doctors, you know, down there, and all this came up, so we had to cancel some appointments. Well, these are 2 appointments you cannot cancel. I cannot cancel. You can't put them off, and you can't bail your way out of them. I want to read a passage of Scripture, Hebrews 9:27. It's a short verse. But Hebrews 9:27 says, as man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. These 2 days will come. First one is death. So that death and taxes, that is half right. Because death, and we know it, don't we? Of course we do. We just don't think about it much. I did one of those ancestry things, you know, to find out, you know, how many Indians were in my family background. I don't know if I should be disappointed or not, but there weren't any Indians in there. I mean, we always thought our Aunt Clara looked like an Indian squaw, you know. But, you know, some politician would run with that, you know, and say, well, wow, I have Indian blood. Well, I checked with Ancestry, and all the Indians were Irish and English Indians, you know, and maybe one Norwegian Indian, but anyway. But I did learn something. Well, I guess I knew it, but it really came to me as I did this Ancestry thing, you know. I discovered that we are descended from a very, very long line of dead people. Yep, every one of them. Dead. And that highlights the point I'm meant to make. One day, you will join that line. One day, I will join that line. So one of the 2 days we face is death. Okay, it will come. It came for Mom. Of course, it took 103 years, 2 months and 20 days. But it did come. And who of us would dare say, well, you know, it's not yet. It doesn't matter how long it's going to take. That does not remove the certainty of it. What if you live to be 120 years? It will come. And none of us, I think, would even dare to imagine we would last 100 years, 103 years. like I say, the length of delay has nothing to do with the certainty of that day. One day we will be in this situation. The day will come. Now, it's curious. I did a translation back in January of this year of an interview with a Portuguese professor. First time I came across this reference to what was called transhumanism. Any of you know what transhumanism is? Jeff, do you know? Yeah, he knows. He knows all about that stuff. Yeah, I'm not just that stuff, but ask anything and he knows something about it, you know. Yeah, I'm not saying he's right either. I just say he's heard of it. Transhumanism. And the first time I'd run across this in this article, and basically it's the belief that humanity will attain immortality through science and medicine. That science will chip away at all these diseases and problems, and eventually immortality. And she said, yeah, it's inevitable. Then this last week in the Washington Post, it came up again. A columnist, Arthur Brooks, wrote about it and talked about this transhumanism. It has to do with the fear of death, see. And so transhumanism says we will remove the fear of death by removing death. And they actually believe that in the near distant future that, they'll be able to conquer death through scientific or medical things. The author said, well, I'm not sure that's good. He said, I would prefer to conquer the fear of death by just facing it and saying, hey, that's the way it is. What's there to fear? You know, so what? Basically, that was he didn't say it that way. He said it much, much more eloquently in that article, but that was the point. But you know, God has put death upon us, and there is a fear of death. And in fact, the writer in the article said that, yeah, what is there about it that we fear death? Well, in Brazil, when we were there, one time I was conversing with a professor, and he was a spiritualist, you know. And our colleague Steve Montgomery had an accident and nearly died. And I was talking with Professor Celso, and I said, you know, just from one day to the next, you never know what's going to happen. I said, but there are two things that are certain ahead of us. He said, oh, what are they? I said, well, one is death. He said, oh, yeah, that's true. He had to admit that. He said, well, what's the other? I said, I'm quoting this verse. I said, coming after this is the judgment. Oh, well, we don't know what happens after death, he said. You know, we can be sure of death. But afterwards, he said, now, if someone were to come back from the dead and tell us, of course, the spiritualists work on communicating with those who have gone on before, you know. If we could just find out from someone on the other side, I said, oh, somebody did come back already and tell us. They did? I said, yeah, his name is Jesus, and here's what he has to say about it. But you know that passage in Luke 16 when Jesus talking to the rich man to send Lazarus back, he said, Lazarus said, they have Moses and the prophets. He said, yeah, but if someone comes back from the dead, they will hear him. No, they won't. Because someone did come back from the dead, and people are not listening to what he says. There is judgment. There is hell. And we need to deal with it. So, there are 2 days. One has to do with our going. That's death. The second has to do with his coming. And that's judgment. 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians 1, I read starting verse 7. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not fear, who do not know God, who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. Now you can dispute that. And you can deny it. And you can choose to ignore it. You can philosophize it away. But that doesn't change what God said. I'm not here to debate whether this is true or not. I'm just reading what God has said is true. You deal with it. This is one of the days in our future when the Lord himself will come, a day of judgment. In Hebrews that we read in the beginning, I read 9:27, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, I didn't read the next verse. Be aware when your pastor only reads one verse and doesn't read the context. I know your pastor does, so I'm not a problem in this church. But some churches it is. What's the context? He says, just as it's destined for us once to die and to face judgment, verse 28 says, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Yes, the day of judgment is coming. No, you nor I have any hope at all of avoiding that day, of not appearing in court. But the gospel is someone can be there with us, will stand with us on that day. Jesus came once to die to bear sins, so that when he comes a second time in judgment, for those who have put their trust in him, he will bring salvation. And that conquers the fear of death. It's not the transhumanist think, well, if we eliminate death, then we've eliminated the fear thereof. It's not this other man's idea, well, I'll just ignore it. Say, well, that's the way it is. So what? You know. Just face your fears and overcome them. No. The fear is real. But so is God's solution. And it's named Jesus Christ. Mom found that solution early in her teenage years. And she lived it to the very end, you know. I thank the Lord that through her, I found that solution. And if I live to be 103, I pray that I am as faithful in maintaining that hope. I see no reason not to. He's been faithful to me until now. Grace had led us through many trials and tears and temptation, but grace will lead us home as well. You know, that's the promise of the gospel. And so if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you don't have to fear death. In fact, in Hebrews 2, as the final reading I want to have before we move on, Hebrews 2, it says, verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. I'm not afraid of death. I'm ready to go, but I'm not in a hurry. You know, there may come a time when I'll be in a hurry. Jesus told his disciples, the days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you won't see it. We live too comfortably in this life to get in a hurry for heaven. Well, while the Lord leaves us here, may we be faithful to serve him. And if you have never given your life to Jesus, ask him to forgive you your sins. Remove that debt that you'll have to stand and answer for one day in the presence of God. I plead with you, ask him to come in. Ask him to forgive. Resolve that issue that's facing you. And if you have, then as the word says, we should live to please him, so that whether we live or die, whether we're in this body or not, that we are pleasing to him and stand before him at that last day. That is the word that I believe Mom would want you to hear and to heed. And it's the word that I certainly believe the Lord leaves us this morning. There are 2 days coming. What is your situation in face of those? I cannot stress how important it is for us to face the reality that one day we will die. One day we will stand face to face before God and Jesus Christ. And our only hope is in he who was the Lamb of God, who died for us, so that when we face him, we will find him to be the Lamb of God and not the Lion of God. Thank you.
It was a mere 10 years ago that I first met Isloy Potter, and she was 93 years old, the youngest 93-year-old I had ever met, for sure. And I don't remember I went out to the house, and I don't remember what specifically took place the first time I visited her at home. I began visiting her on a regular basis, but I remember finding out fairly early on that she not only was someone who read her Bible, she was someone who memorized the Bible. I don't mean that she had the entire Old and New Testaments memorized. But I can tell you that there were quite a few verses that if you would just start in, she would start either silently mouthing that verse or she would just jump in and say the verse. One time I said, well, let's look at some verses. We would just swap verses back and forth that we knew. And you could say, for the wages, and that's all she needed. And that's probably all many of you need. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And she could often tell you where it came from as well. How many of you knew, just a quick show of hands, how many of you knew that Isloy memorized a lot of scripture? Yeah, so the family knew that. This is not news to you. And that says something about her, doesn't it? Doesn't that say something about Isloy Potter? It says that she took the Word of God, the Bible, this book that most of you have, she took it very seriously. If you didn't know, that's wise, because this is the Word of God. We ought to follow her example and take it very seriously. And I know that she wanted me to share with you from God's Word. She said that to me several times. And so I thought I would just share with you Romans 6:23, the one that some of us just quoted. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You might never have thought of it, but that verse is just one giant contrast. And it is a contrast between two masters. And everyone here is serving one of those two masters today. This is a contrast between one master, which is sin, and the wages that sin, like a master, pays to everyone who serves sin. It's a contrast between that and a completely different master, who is God, the creator and the sustainer of the universe, the one who is sustaining your life right now. And not the wages that he pays his servants, but the gift that he gives to his servants, which they could never earn and never deserve. Sin here is being portrayed as a master, and rightly so. And sin is a master who pays wages to all who serve him, all who serve sin. And the wage that sin pays to all who serve sin is the same. And in every case, the wage that sin pays to those who serve sin is death. And so you should picture sin as an ugly master, as a disgusting master, as a very large master, because many, millions, serve that master, sin. Picture a very large, very ugly, very dirty, very nasty boss with a black, ugly grin and a sharp sword in his hand and a bloody, foul-smelling shirt with a big S on it that stands for sin. Sin is a terrible master. No one should ever want to serve sin. And yet, the Bible says that by nature, by first birth, all of us do. That's how bad sin is in this world. We are born in sin. We grow up. We sin. We serve sin. We do not by nature serve God. We do not by nature seek to know God. We do not by nature want mom or dad to read to us Bible stories. We don't by nature want to honor our parents. The sins which are probably most pervasive are sins of pride and selfishness and laziness and worldliness and fleshliness. And by nature, that's the way we go. We do not by nature love God or love his laws or love his ways or love his people. By nature, we love ourselves. That's our nature. And who's saying that? God says that throughout his word and all throughout Romans. Romans is all about how can it be that any sinner could ever be right in the sight of God? How could that even be possible? If God is a holy and righteous judge who hates sin, how could any sinner ever be righteous in the sight of God? And the answer in Romans is there's only one way, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. But if man rejects that, if man rejects Christ, if man rejects the Bible, if man rejects the gospel, then he serves sin, and sin will pay that wage which is deserved by the sinner, and that wage is death. And from the context, it is eternal death away from the presence of God in a terrible, miserable place called hell. That's the first half of Romans 6:23, and if it ended there, we should all despair. It does not end there. There is this wonderful contrast word, but. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. God is a very different master. He gives a gift. He gives it freely. God gives a gift to his servants, which no one could ever earn or deserve. We don't earn this gift by serving him. And the gift of God is eternal life. And from the context, it is eternal life in the presence of God with everyone who has ever believed in Jesus Christ in a wonderful, blessed, joyful place called heaven. So here you should picture a throne, a great throne, high and lifted up in heaven, and one seated upon it who is so glorious, so majestic, and so beautiful, you can't describe him. You can try. The Apostle John tried to in the book of Revelation, chapter 4. He says, I was in the Spirit, and behold, there was a throne set in heaven, and one who sat upon it, and he who sat there was like, and you can tell John is stretching. He just, how do I convey this? Like, he says, a jasper, which was a diamond. He's like a diamond, as in glorious, beautiful, precious, brilliant. And like a sardius stone, which is a precious, priceless gem. Which is a way of saying he is glorious, he is beautiful. In another place in Scripture, Moses asked God if he could see God's glory. Remember that? Exodus 33, show me. I want to see your glory, I want to see you. Of course, God said that no one can see him and live. But the Lord did answer by passing by, hiding Moses in the cleft of the rock, from which we get some of our hymns. God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock, and he revealed his glory in a sentence. And think about this, because this is the God that we ought to want to serve. God said, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, that means he's faithful to thousands of people, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, wipes away all sins forever, and yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Now there's a God you ought to want to serve, one who can have pity on you in your weakness, one who understands what you're going through, one who knows that you're a sinner, and yet he stands ready to forgive all of your sins forever, one who loves you and cares about you and desires you to know him and to be with him forever. And yet, if you harden your heart against him, you will pay the price forever. A just God. That God gives an amazing gift, a glorious gift, to everyone who serves him, to his servants. It is eternal life with him in heaven, with everyone who has ever believed or ever will believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the gift of God. You ought to say, where could I find that? And it's not Amazon. It's not Walmart. It's not available in any store. Have you ever heard that? Not available in stores. It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the way the verse ends. The verse ends by telling you where you can find this incredible gift, eternal life. It's found in one place only, in Christ Jesus our Lord, which means in a personal relationship with him, which begins simply by turning from sin and putting your faith in him. It begins with something like a prayer that says, God, have mercy on me. Or it begins with a prayer that says, God, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. It really begins by humbling yourself. Jesus says, if a man will not humble himself like a little child, he can by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's the sin that will keep you out of heaven, pride. Christ is the only place where you can find eternal life, and you will never find eternal life anywhere else ever. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way to heaven. Eternal life is not found in any other religion or in any other person or in any kind of philosophy like transhumanism. That's news to me. There is eternal life in no one else. And if you deny that, if you just say, well, I just don't believe that, I can't accept that. I've talked to many people who say, I could just never believe that. I could never accept that. Well, then you make Jesus out to be a liar. You become guilty before God of exalting yourself above Jesus Christ. And that is serving sin. And you will receive your wages in due time, which is eternal death. I'm here to tell you, choose life. Choose life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today and you will be saved. And what about all of your sins? They'll all be forgiven today. Every single one of them. Forever. This has been the consistent message of all true prophets and preachers of God throughout all the centuries. Acts 10:43 says, of him, that means of Jesus Christ, all the prophets bear witness. That means that's present tense. All the prophets through all the ages are bearing witness even today. That through him, through Jesus Christ, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. That's the good news of the Bible. Acts 10:43, and it's true. Because God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, in order that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Right now, in the presence of Jesus Christ, Isaloi is enjoying the outcome of her faith, eternal life in the presence of God. And by the grace of God, I and all others here in this room who believe in Jesus Christ will soon be joining her. That day is coming soon for us. And my question is, what about you? What about you? Are you ready? Are you certain? Will you be joining all who have believed in Christ? If you're not sure, then I would say this. Just look at your life and ask this question. Who am I serving? And the answer is, you're either serving sin or you're serving him. Those are the only two choices. If you are serving Jesus Christ, then be encouraged. The verse before this says, but now, having been set free from sin, be encouraged. You have been set free completely from serving sin. You're no longer a slave to that. Having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and you have the end, which is everlasting life. Want to honor Isaloi's life? Believe whom she believed and follow whom she followed. Live how she lived and die how she died, trusting simply in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good news. It's so simple. And Father, I thank you that there are many, maybe most, maybe all in this room who believe in Christ and have eternal life. Father, my heart this morning is for the one who doesn't. If there is anyone in this place, Father, who does not have Christ, who is serving sin, I pray, be merciful, be gracious to open that heart today to receive Christ. And this will be all the more a day of rejoicing, both in heaven and on earth. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you would take your hymnals again, 353. Isaloi enjoyed some 37,000 days of This Is a Day here on earth. She is now celebrating a victory. She is celebrating the beginning of an eternity in heaven. She's a winner both ways. Let's rejoice as we sing the song together, Victory in Jesus. On the third verse, we will add the optional chorus too. So, Victory in Jesus, 353. Let's stand as we sing, please.
I heard about old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repent of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. Then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And some Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And the last, I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And someday I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. To victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath. unseen flood. One more time. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He's on the air I live in, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Great benediction, but we are going to have one more benediction. When Pastor Rick is done with the prayer, family would love for you to stay. We have a meal together upstairs, and make sure you greet the family and tell some stories that you might know about Isloy that they might not know. Share with them your love, if you would. Pastor Rick, come, please.
Amen. You sang that like you believed it. And that is a great testimony. It's a great encouragement. I trust that everybody here is greatly encouraged. It says something about Isloy. As we were mentioning before, there are many things that speak of her. One of the things that I remember her saying often is, I'm too blessed to gripe. And that speaks, even when she's week after week faithfully coming to church, slowly but surely being here, saying, I'm too blessed to gripe. And so we have much to be grateful for in the Lord, and we thank you for the privilege of letting us serve her these many years and serve you as a family as well. And we would just like to end with a final prayer of thanksgiving before the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we indeed are too blessed to gripe. We are so grateful for your many faithfulnesses to us. And Father, we know that those goodnesses come in the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom we are eternally grateful, and for whom Miss Isloy always spoke so lovingly and so grateful of her many blessings. Father, we thank you for the privilege of serving this family, of serving her, of ultimately serving you, Lord, through them. And we pray that you will just give us a great time of rejoicing as we continue over mealtime today. We thank you for providing what we have to eat, and we thank you, Father, that you will use it to nourish us and strengthen us. May it be a reminder of your ongoing faithfulness, and may we just rejoice as we spend that time together. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, may this be a lasting testimony of your faithfulness in the life of your servants. And we thank you for the privilege of being a part of it. In Jesus' name, amen.